The Marshalltown Community School District has announced the groundbreaking ceremony and final walkthrough of Miller Middle School. It's coming next week on Monday, April 13th.
Yeah, well, we'll do an outside groundbreaking kind of a photo op with a few dignitaries making comments. And then we're also going to be offering tours immediately following for anyone that wants to go through Miller one more time before the renovations and stuff begin.
This is the public's last chance to walk through the middle school before the construction starts.
The groundbreaking is at 4:30, so I imagine the tours will begin by 5 o'clock or shortly before.
Miller Middle School is 100 years old and will be going through a major renovation starting this spring and summer. The project will transform how the middle school looks inside and out. Yesterday started the project on the viaduct on Center Street in Marshalltown, and that viaduct will now be closed for the majority of the construction season. There are several reasons for this project, but the main purpose is to fix the expansion finger joints.
Over time, underneath, they have roller bearings that have seized up and corroded. So we will be cutting out two different sections of the entire bridge all the way across, metal, concrete, and everything, and those are going to get replaced with a different type of a modular expansion joint.
That's Public Works Director Heather Thomas explaining what will be happening with the Center Street Viaduct.
The contractor is starting with some work on the north end of the bridge. There are several joints in that first area right over what is called a vaulted abutment. The gun club is underneath, but that area has quite a bit of concrete deterioration, both on the outside, we'll call them retaining walls of the vaulted abutment, and then the joints that are on the bridge itself are leaking down into the vaulted abutment.
This will close the road that's heading down to the OT by Opa Grill and the Boone and Center Street intersection. It will remain closed until the project then moves to the south side of the viaduct. Thomas then talks about the two loops that are heading down to Washington Street and the YMCA on the south side of the viaduct.
Those loops will stay open the entire project. So from a construction standpoint, we're able to keep all of our work a little bit further north than that, so you can access on those ramps down throughout the entire construction season here in 2026.
This project has been discussed for many years, and in 2023, they did some patchwork on the finger joints. The city did get a federal grant of over $1 million to help pay for the project. This week, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau is working with law enforcement across the state to focus on the new hands-free law in Iowa. Marshalltown Police Chief Chris Jones says another law they're going to focus on this year is the move-over law.
Going to be looking at doing some projects late spring, early summer to make sure that people understand what the rules are as it relates to driving down the highway and seeing a car on the side of the road.
This law states that if there's a car on the side of the road with flashing emergency lights, drivers are to move to the other side of the road and allow them at least one lane of space.
Back in 2018, they changed the law to include vehicles that are pulled over to the side of the road with their flashing lights on. It used to just be emergency vehicles and tow vehicles. Now it's really any vehicle that's pulled over to the side of the road.
Chief Jones then describes what drivers should do on a four-lane road like Highway 30.
If you're in that outside lane and there's a car parked on the shoulder, if you can get over into that lane, you can continue to drive at your normal speed. If you're not able to get over one lane from the vehicle that's on the side of the road, then you need to make sure that you slow down. And what I tell people and what I've told students in driver's education is you got to make it obvious.
Chief Jones suggests 10 miles per hour under the speed limit. He urges drivers to use caution when passing any vehicle that's on the side of the road. Iowa's high school graduation has increased slightly. The numbers from the Iowa Department of Education shows the four-year rate for 2025 is 88.8%, up a half a percentage point. The department says it's the highest graduation rate in 5 years and the first time since 2020 that Iowa's graduation rate has exceeded pre-pandemic levels. The annual dropout rate for students in grades 9 through 12 was 2.3% in the 2024-25 school year, which was down from the nearly 2.6% rate the year before. A U.S. appeals court has vacated preliminary injunctions against the Iowa law that limits teaching topics for kids in kindergarten through sixth grade. The injunction blocked the law that prohibits teaching about gender identity or sexual orientation in the curriculum for kindergarten through sixth grade. It also requires the school to tell parents their child asked to change pronouns. The appeals court says the district court engaged in a flawed analysis when it isolated two words in the statute to create an expansive view of the law's scope. It struck down the injunction that kept books with descriptions or visual depictions of a sex act from school libraries. The ruling says the district court wrongly found the selection of books for a school library is not part of the school's curriculum. The ruling means the law can take effect while the lawsuits involving those issues continue. April is Donate Life Month, and the Iowa Donor Network raised a flag Monday celebrating the month in Sioux City's Unity Point St. Luke's offices. The Donors Network, John Jorgensen, says there's a misconception that the donation only benefits the recipient.
But it's also for families whose loved one has this legacy that lives on, this legacy of hope. And families want so much when they've said yes to donation for that completion to hear back about how these ones who've received that gift of life are doing. And it gives them hope as that goes on.
He says many lives were impacted in 2025 by those who made the decision to donate.
124 organ donors gave 376 organs for transplant. 981 donors gave the gift of sight, restoring the vision and hope to recipients in Iowa and across the country and around the world. Thousands more lives were healed through the generosity of 1,308 tissue donors in Iowa. That is another record year for tissue donation as those gifts continue.
Jorgensen says it's simple to register to be an organ donor.
So the easiest way is when you renew your driver's license, just to mark yes. There's a heart that they can put on your driver's license that says I register to be an organ, tissue, and eye donor. Also, if you prefer to go online, iowadonornetwork.org, there's a place to register online for that very same thing.
There are currently more than 104,000 Americans on a list waiting for an organ donation. That includes 600 Iowans. The Senate has sent the governor a bill that would regulate public kickboxing matches in Iowa. The state has long required the promoters of boxing and wrestling events to be licensed by the state. Representative Jacob Bossman of Sioux City says in 2010, the legislatures voted to require anyone who organized or promoted a mixed martial arts event to be state licensed.
Kickboxing at the time occurred in conjunction with MMA events. However, in the last few years, kickboxing has kind of branched out on its own, so it's not currently covered.
Senator Jeff Reichman of Montrose says the state licensing process establishes some safety guidelines for traditional boxing, wrestling, mixed martial arts, and now for kickboxing after the governor signs the bill.
This ensures consistency with both between amateur and professional events.
Once the bill becomes law, the promoter of kickboxing events will be required to submit a report on ticket sales to the state, just like boxing, wrestling, and MMA promoters do. They also have to pay the same 5% state tax on gross receipts within 20 days. Iowa is one step closer to requiring parental permission before a minor could book tanning bed sessions. The Iowa House voted to require written parental consent for their child to use a commercial tanning bed last year. Yesterday, the Senate approved the bill but removed the section requiring the permission forms to include a cancer warning, so the House now has to okay that change before the bill goes to the governor. Senator Art Stade of Cedar Rapids has been trying to get this policy passed for a decade.
Other states have acted. Iowa hasn't, and that's just not acceptable. We can't regulate the sun, but we can regulate harmful artificial exposure.
A month ago, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration dropped a proposal that would have banned teens from using tanning beds. Stade says that makes it important for the state to act. A Northwestern University study identified DNA changes in skin cancer patients who had used tanning beds. According to the National Institutes of Health, using a tanning bed just one time before the age of 35 raises your risk for developing melanoma by 75%. A nonprofit that works to prevent and respond to child abuse and neglect says Iowa needs to do more to help. Why is that? We'll tell you coming up next.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have a lot of questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Bruce Wirin. Let's work together to make sure your finances meet your unique needs over the long haul. You've done what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Call us at 641-753-4163 to schedule an appointment. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Welcome back at 1211. We're about 42 degrees now. More KFJB News with Zach Tomish.
A nonprofit that works to prevent and respond to child abuse and neglect says Iowa needs to do more to help. State data shows child abuse reports have dropped since 2022, but Danica Haas, who heads the Iowa chapter of Children's Advocacy Centers, says it doesn't mean there is less abuse, that it's likely underreported. Haas says a law change has been a challenge to their program because parents have to approve educational programs for their kids.
If you have a member of the household who's potentially abusing a child, well, they're never going to sign that permission slip because they're not going to want their child to receive that education to know that what's happening to them is considered abuse.
The nonprofit works with schools to teach children about neglect, bullying, sexual abuse, and other safety concerns. Haas says Iowa should require body safety education in all schools, especially since the vast majority of children personally know their alleged offenders.
We oftentimes will have some communities that will say, oh, I know that child abuse isn't happening here, so we don't need to worry about it. And I can tell you that child abuse is happening in all 99 counties in Iowa.
Haas says Iowa should require preventative education that teaches children how to identify safety concerns like physical abuse, neglect, or bullying. A variety of groups are urging legislatures to continue state funding for the University of Iowa's network of river sensors that measure water quality. Cynthia Farmer of the Center for Rural Affairs says those sensors provide the data to show if state-funded conservation projects are working.
We talked to a lot of different farmers and watershed community leaders across the state and know that those farmers want to make sure that the practices that they're working on to help the environment, they want to know that those practices being paid for by taxpayer dollars are making sure that they're working.
Colleen Fowle is the Iowa Environmental Council's Water Program Director.
Without frequent monitoring data, there isn't any way to target what works in specific watersheds. So if we don't measure the progress, we don't know whether taxpayer investments are delivering the intended results.
A key senator working on next year's funding plan for the Iowa Departments of Agriculture and Natural Resources says he's looking for a way to provide the $600,000 in state money to operate the water quality sensors for another year.